This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Child abuse.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. And our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Glad to be with you. We hope to talk a little NBA today. We haven't talked much about that recently. You know, the Pistons are, you know, they're doing pretty good, but are they just treading water or are they trying to get better? So we'll talk a little bit of Pistons today. And then, of course, we've got to talk a lot of NC2A tournament and how Michigan State is doing. Can the Spartans get to the Final Four? We'll discuss that a little bit later on today's show with Matt Charbonneau from Detroit News. So we've got a lot to talk about, but give us a call. Well, I have some news for you. It appears like the Peyton Manning sweepstakes are over. It looks like Peyton Manning is going to sign with the Denver Broncos. He's told his agent to not negotiate with anyone else, not to negotiate with Green Bay or Tennessee. San Francisco or Tennessee. He's going to give exclusive negotiation rights to Denver right now. So if he can work out a contract, it looks like Peyton Manning will be a Denver Bronco. Denver has already said they will look trading Tim Tebow somewhere. So that looks to be the plan for Peyton Manning. It looks like he's going to work for John Elway. He's very comfortable with Elway. He knows Elway well. They play golf together quite a few times. But he says he just likes the Denver situation, and they're willing to try to get some of the former players that are on the free agent market. For example, Jeff Saturday. If they can sign him, that would make, of course, Peyton Manning very happy. So they're just looking around right now, but Denver, it looks to be the number one option. They're trying to get him signed. You can give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR, 355-9527, or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. And we'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing a wide range of sports with you right here on AM 870. And that was the one. And another player has decided he wants to play for the Carolina Panthers. Mike Tolbert, formerly of San Diego, wants to play with the Carolina Panthers. Well, right now, let's bring in our guests. We've got Vince Ellis and talk a little bit of Detroit Pistons basketball. Vince, how you doing, my man?
Hello, Earl. How you doing? Are you guys all happy about the Spartans advancing to the Sweet 16 up there?
Of course we are. You know that.
Yeah, I know it's probably Izzo-mania up there right now.
It is.
I lived up there for 2 years.
It is. Yeah, you covered them for a while. You know how it is. The folks are really excited and happy, and especially since it's such a young team. You know, they weren't really expecting that this year, but this young team has turned out to be very good. And I'm surprised myself they've gotten as far as they have. But it's a young team, and they're really working hard. And it's a team that I know Coach really likes. You know, he's got a bunch of guys out there who really listen to him and try to implement the things he says. So it's a good team for him, and he's really excited about this team's chances.
Well, he should be. Got some good players. You can answer me a question.
Mm-hmm.
What do your callers think of Draymond Green's pro chances? Have you ever talked about that?
Okay. Oh, yes. Yes, we have. Some of us, the fans and some of the media as well. We used to think he didn't have much of a chance, but now we're thinking that he's got a good chance to make it. I mean, he's always been a good player. The one thing I used to knock him out, I don't knock him anymore, was to be an NBA player, you need to do one really thing outstanding. And he does a lot of things good, but he's really turned now into an outstanding rebounder. He can hang his hat on that. He's really at 6'7", he really knows how to move his body, position himself. He's become a very good rebounder. And he's also increased his shooting range, and he can shoot short ones, and he can shoot the long ones. So he's really improved his all-around game, and I think that's going to give him a good chance to make it at the next level.
Well, Yeah, he will be a very intriguing prospect. I was speaking to someone the other day about him, and it was a guy who was a pro personnel guy in the NBA and who thinks that Draymond will have a good chance. And Draymond, basically because of his basketball IQ, mm-hmm. really knows how to play the game. He'll probably stick around.
Yes, that's a good part of it, too. You're right. He has a tremendous basketball IQ. He loves to play the game, so that's going to give him a good chance. I think the prospects are that he'll probably be drafted in the lower first part of the first round.
Yeah, that's where I would say late first round, early second. But someone will definitely take a flyer on him. He's pretty close to Joe Dumars. Knows him well, known him for a little bit, because I gather Draymond knows Dumars' son, Jordan, mm-hmm. pretty well. So I would imagine that if the Pistons don't draft him, Joe will be probably sending out word around the league, y'all need to take a chance on this kid. So.
Yeah, it'll be a good shot. I mean, that's one thing we know. He's going to get a shot, that's for sure. And hopefully, depending on how he does in the training camp, he might make it. But at least he's going to get a shot. That's all. As a player, you know, that's all you can ask for is a fair shot. And if he's got a fair shot, I think he'll have a good chance of making it.
Well, nowadays, second-round picks make it a lot of times mm-hmm. with those expanded rosters where people can keep 15 players around. They only activate 12 on game nights. But, so once you get, if you get drafted, you got a pretty good shot of making a team. So even the Pistons took Vernon Mack with the 52nd pick in last year's draft, and he's on the team roster. So the chances are good if you get drafted that you're going to be on the team nowadays, unlike in years past.
Yes. Hey, now, the Pistons, do you think they're improving or are they just treading water? Because it does seem like their play is improving. So if you do think they are improving, how have they improved in these last few weeks?
Oh, their play has improved exponentially. Mm-hmm. From January, I think we may have had this discussion when they were getting mm-hmm. beat by 20, 30 points on a nightly basis.
Yes.
They'd be out of the game by the end of the first quarter. Their record since February 1st, I believe, is like 12-9 now. I don't have the numbers in front of me. And most nights, they've gone from getting blown out every night to even the games they lost, they have a chance to win, just like last night. 8-point lead going into the fourth quarter. Offense got stagnant, only scored 9 points in the fourth quarter. So the game went into overtime where Chris Paul became Chris Paul and the game was over. So yes, they've improved exponentially. The main difference is I think for the first month of the season was kind of like the Pistons training camp and off season.
Yes.
But they were playing games to count it. Ronnie Stuckey and Tayshaun Prince probably weren't quite right when the season started. Tayshaun Prince, because he had an injury where he couldn't really do a whole lot of practicing in an abbreviated training camp. And then you have Ronnie Stuckey, who was late to get into camp because he was still taking care of his money. He probably wasn't quite right. And Brandon Knight had to figure it out. And Coach Frank had to figure out his personnel. So there was a lot of things going on where they just were playing horribly, but something like a light bulb went off. Frank figured out some things. He got the team playing a faster tempo, which takes advantage of Rodney Stuckey and Brandon Knight's talents. Greg Monroe has been pretty solid all year. So, but probably the number one reason, though, probably the player Rodney Stuckey. The Pistons have hung on to him for the last 5 years. Fans going like they probably don't understand what the Pistons see in him. But, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, he's been playing Dwayne Wade-esque since February 1st. It's been probably Dwayne Wade-light. He had a stinker yesterday, but he was struggling with his bad left toe, and he was limping all the whole game long at the Clippers, and it was obviously he didn't have it. But Stuckey's play has been really obvious.
And what about Greg Monroe? It really looks like he's elevated his game, or he, like you said, he's playing better. But what is turning on for Greg Monroe? Because he's really becoming a fierce rebounder, and his scoring has gotten better.
Yeah, well, he had a good rookie season, and the question was whether Greg Monroe could take the next step, and he has taken the next step. You can go to him. He has an array of offensive moves. Needs to get not quite so left-hand dominant. Also, his defense probably needs to improve as well. But it's obvious that he's a player that's going to come up. The Pistons are tickled pink with him. And people talk about the Greg Monroe, DeMarcus Cousins draft where, you know, the Pistons were pretty publicly trying to trade up to get Cousins. And, you know, Cousins took Greg Monroe apart pretty good about a month ago back at the Palace. And then this week, Greg Monroe destroyed DeMarcus Cousins. So, you know, ending all talk that maybe Cousins is a better player. So, or at least for now, at least temporarily. So, Greg, and plus, even better, he's a good guy. He, non-drama, does what you ask. I mean, he's just a really good guy. Really approachable, gregarious type, really good guy to be around.
And how is the coach doing? How is Frank doing? You know, we talked about him at the beginning. It was a little bit of a struggle, but how is he doing now?
I guess he's doing pretty good, actually. Obviously, he got to own the one loss record, but you know, a lot of the problems of the past, fractured locker room, players hitting the coach. The only folks who hate the coach now are the guys who aren't playing, which is normal.
Yeah.
So, he's doing a fine job. He's still learning his personnel, and I still think he's trying to figure out a little bit. But his first season compared to where he started and to what they're doing now, you can see his impact. And basically, all you can ask of a coach is, we're going to give you this. And make them better. And you know what? They were the bad news bears and the season started. And right now, they're okay.
Yeah, and that's good. What about a player that's, you know, we saw him. He was a starter at the beginning of the season. And now he's coming off the bench, it seems like. But what about Jonas Derebko? It looks like he's been playing pretty well.
Yeah, he found a nice niche coming off the bench. He looks like a guy who hadn't played for a year. There are nights where he really doesn't have it, but he talks about it. You know, sometimes when you have an Achilles like he had, it takes you a year, you know, to get back, and then it takes you kind of a year to figure your game out. So there's no concerns about Jonas, though. You get the feeling Jonas is going to be a really good player for a while in this league.
Okay. Hey, I know you're down there, but I got to ask you, have you got your tickets for the Alabama-Michigan game yet?
It's funny you should ask that. I think I have a line on tickets to that game. You know, those tickets ain't cheap, Earl.
That's right.
And, you know, flying down there, the plane ticket, hotel room for a couple nights. I'm still debating whether I want to do that or not. You know, in my old age, you know, there's nothing like watching it on your HD.
I think you've come to my side there. I'm a firm believer in HD. HD is a beautiful thing.
HD is going to be the death of people going to games.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I hate to see it, but we'll see a lot. I think that's going to lead to a lot more people staying at home watching games as opposed to going to games. That HD is such a beautiful signal. Hey,
think about it. I ain't got a park.
Yep.
I ain't got to, like, spend $10 for a beer.
Yep.
I ain't got to listen to idiot next to you yelling out there at the stand or yelling out there at the field saying stupid stuff. Hey.
Yeah.
Nothing like HD.
Yeah, I think more and more people are going to get turned on to that, my friend. Hey, now, where are the Pistons going now? So you're still down there, so what's their next stop?
Okay, they played the Clippers last night, lost them overtime. They're off today, and they're going to practice tomorrow at UCLA. Before flying to Denver, where they will face the Denver Nuggets on Wednesday night. Thursday, I don't know what they're doing Thursday, but then Friday they play the Miami Heat at home. And then they play the Knicks the following Saturday. And basically that starts a four-game road trip against Eastern Conference opponents. So nine of ten games on the road. And, you know, the goofy part about it, you know, you ask me how they're playing. They're 1-3 on this road trip now. And they easily could have won the three games they lost. So it's kind of, in some ways, if you're a fan, you're happy that they're playing better. But you're looking, wow, we could actually be there in the playoff stage, even though there's a debate whether they should make the playoffs or not, whether it helped. You know, hey, when you have a young team, I would always say making the playoffs is a good thing.
Yeah.
Now, if you got a bunch of old guys just hanging on and you're putting together a run for the eighth spot, I don't think necessarily that might be the best long-term benefit for the franchise. But if you got a young team, yeah, the young guys need to experience the playoffs. They do, I think.
Okay. Hey, we got a caller for you. We got Tom on the line. Tom, how you doing?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Here's my question for your guest.
Hey, Tom.
What's going on with Will Bynum? At one time, he was a powerhouse. Now he doesn't really seem to get much time. And the second question is, do you think the Pistons will be able to finish in the lottery? And I'll take your answers off the air.
Okay.
I'll answer your second question first. Yes, I think they will finish in the lottery. If they could have put together some kind of run on this road trip, maybe they could have challenged. But 4-20 start is a lot to overcome. Mm-hmm. And think about it, they had less time because they're only playing 66 games. Maybe if a 4-20 start and you have the 82 game schedule, you got more games to make up. I thought their chances were pretty slim. I've only mentioned the playoffs briefly in passing in my copy in the last week or so. And, you know, they lost those three games on the West Coast trip, and I think that pretty much kills any talk of making the playoffs. Will Bynum is an interesting case. People remember those spectacular plays he makes. Remember in his first season with the Pistons, the Allen Iverson, Rip Hamilton drama year.
Yes.
Will Bynum scored 26 points in a quarter to set a franchise record for points in a quarter and won a game for him. And he's had games like that where he scored big. But coaches struggle with Will because if he's going to give you that, he's going to be allowing it at the other end probably because he's short, so teams can take advantage of that. And secondly, as one person told me, he sticks to screens like Velcro. He had a hard time getting off screens, which is when teams are playing pick and roll all the time. I mean, if you're not getting off screens, you're pretty pointless on the defensive end. And also, he can be turnover prone. So Will Bynum fell behind when he got hurt earlier this year, and by the time he got back, Frank had pretty much settled upon a three-guard rotation of Stuckey, Knight, and Ben Gordon. So will he get a chance to get back in the rotation? I don't know if it'll happen this year.
Okay. Hey, Vince, it's always a pleasure talking to you. I know you're out there. When you go to Denver, you might have to write a story on Peyton Manning signing with the Denver Broncos. He's going that way, it looks like.
I will not be writing that story. I will be observing from afar like everyone else.
Okay, Vince. Hey, it's good talking to you, my friend, and we'll talk to you later on, buddy.
Take care.
Okay. See you later, Vince. And that's Vince Ellis with the Detroit Free Press talking Detroit Pistons basketball. The time, 23 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
This is Neil Conan. In the week ahead on Talk of the Nation, we'll watch the latest developments from the Middle East and Afghanistan and keep an eye on politics closer to home. Political junkie Ken Rudin joins us, as usual, on Wednesday. Plus, former Major League catcher Ben Petrick, who developed Parkinson's at age 22 on life after the diagnosis. All that and much more in the coming week on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good afternoon, I'm Kevin Lavery. It seems we've skipped right over spring and gone right to summer. Partly sunny skies today with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, a high of 80 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the upper 50s. Continued warm on Tuesday, mostly sunny, a high also in the lower 80s. And Wednesday, mostly sunny, highs in the lower 80s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we ask you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. As I mentioned to Vince and mentioned to you earlier, it looks like Peyton Manning will be signing with the Denver Broncos. He's instructed his agent to work out the details of a contract. So it looks like if they can work out the details, he'll be playing with the Denver Broncos this year. And all the other players will be looking for elsewhere. I guess now Alex Smith will probably be be going back to San Francisco. When they were talking to Peyton Manning, it didn't look like that would happen, but it does look like that will happen right now. Right now, let's go back to the phones. We've got Bird on the line. Bird, how you doing?
Hey, Earl. I know you got all this big pool, so I'm going to ask you a question. Why, during the NCAAs, you know, you got a lot of these smaller schools, and like Lamar, Baylor, South Mississippi, and they don't ever say where they're from. You know, they don't say, like,
you mean where
like
the school is located?
It's Tobina, Mississippi, you know. Yeah. Give them some props. I mean, they made it that far.
Yeah, they sure. I guess, for whatever reason, I don't know why they don't do it, but right. That does happen. They don't tell you exactly where they're from. They'll just mention like Southern Mississippi or
right.
Lamar or something like that. A lot of times they don't tell you.
That's demeaning. Yeah. You know, a lot of schools fight for 30 years to get, you know, at least to play, you know.
Yep. Well, they get their name mentioned at least that much. I think during the course of a game, you would probably hear it because they'll probably mention it during the course of a game, but, you know, you won't hear it very much. They might mention it one or two times, but, you know, it'll just it passing or somewhat. But, yeah, I think they should do it, like you say, at the beginning of the game for sure, let people know where that school is.
Yeah, you know, because, it's traveling time. They might want to stop and visit the campus or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't outrageous.
Yeah.
I mean, we're so used to it in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Everybody pretty much know where everybody is.
Yeah, because if you're into the college environment and into where the schools are and everything, you just might have a general idea of where they are. You just get your little book and just look it up in a book and find something. But, yeah, it would make it a lot easier for people if they did mention where the school is at it, for sure.
Because I had a couple guys that I knew from, like, Southern Mississippi and Louisiana and they're kind of a little ticked off.
And that's understandable, because they'd look to get a little props for their school, sure.
Sure. Mm-hmm. All right, that's all I wanted to voice. I didn't want to tie up too much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for calling. Call us again sometime. Give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR, 355-9527, or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Let's head to Saginaw and talk with Michael. Michael, how you doing?
All right, Rob. Earl, I call you Rob, man.
Uh-huh.
I apologize for that. But
that's
I was
okay.
going to tell you before I ask you my general question. When Rob Bennett calls your radio program, your ex-producer, tell him I went to Two Spirit Hockey Game.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I did. And I was really impressed with the quality of play in the OHL. Sparty came up here that Friday, I think, 3 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
They had a promotion. They brought old Sparty up here. It was really good, Earl. I think if you ain't got nothing to do, could drive up to Saginaw and see a hockey game. How about that?
Okay, that sounds good, buddy.
All right, then. I'm going to ask you about Michigan State. You know what? I'm the only person probably in America in Michigan didn't see the game because I was serving my Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The choir had a program. But I wanted to ask, what do you think about Rick Majerus and St. Louis program? Did they have a player that they – was they just a team that – got a particular style of play that we're going to just cause problems, or they have some skilled players
had some very skilled players, and the good thing is, most of those guys are juniors and seniors, so they've been together for a couple of years, and that, as you know, that gives the teams that have players that are, been together two or three years a huge advantage over a lot of other teams. Yes, it's a small school, but it's big in St. Louis area, so that gave them a shot, and Rick Majerus, if you know his history, he's been a very good coach for a lot of years, and he has a style which can adapt and adjust to many different styles, and that's good when he's playing a school like Michigan State. He almost pulled it out, but he's a very good coach.
What you think about, because he did coach at Marquette with L. McGuire, and I remember that's the first time I started following college basketball when L. McGuire was coaching because he used to have all those New York City kids on his team.
Yes.
And it was just like, Al McGuire, the players all liked him because he had such a personality and everything, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I thought Rick Majerus, when he was even coaching at Utah, I mean, Utah is not a prime recruiting place, but he seemed like he's one of those coaches that can coach to his talent and make his talent
better,
rise above mm-hmm. What they've been.
He's very good at that.
Mm-hmm. I like the answer. What is going on with all the West Coast? Why is Michigan State, I know they number one seed in the West, but what about all the Pac-10 schools or the WAC schools or all the schools out there? Why is West Coast basketball is so...
It's been weak lately,
yeah,
that's for sure.
It's been weak lately. I'm just surprised because I knew UCLA alone, you got Los Angeles. You should be able to have a good team out there.
Yes.
And, you know, I've seen Kevin O'Neill up in... on the highlights over in Mount Morris trying to recruit this guy from Beecher. And I said, man, don't they have any point guards in Los Angeles? I just want to know what is with the...
Yeah, they're just not doing that well right now. I mean, you have to go where the players are, and the players still are. The majority of basketball players are really strong in the Midwest still and out East, and people still go to Midwest, out East. There are some players down South, but out West, they just don't have that many players right now. So they'll go anywhere. You know, you got to field a team, so you go where the players are, where the players you think are the better players will be at. So That's the question in recruiting. You go where the players are, the ones you think you can get.
Okay, this is my last question, and I'm moving on to other callers. Do you think that Michigan was going to get beat by Ohio? And what you think about Xavier and Cincinnati basketball programs, even after the brawl? I remember calling you, letting you comment on the brawl and everything. I just take it off the end. I'm moving along. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. That one first, Cincinnati and Xavier, two very good programs. They're very strong in Ohio. As you know, Ohio has very good basketball, a ton of good players in the state of Ohio, and that goes back a while. I remember when Coach Izzo went down there and got Andre Hudson. He was just a marvel that people didn't recruit as strongly in Ohio back then, but now a lot of people go into Ohio and recruit Ohio very, very strongly. I was surprised. I thought that Michigan had a good chance to get to the Sweet 16. I thought they could win two games at best, but they got beat by a good Ohio team that's very strong. An Ohio team that has Clark Kellogg's son playing for him. So that's a strong team and the best team in the MAC, and they've done a good job in the tournament thus far. So I just have to give them a lot of credit for being a good team and being a very strong team. Hey, give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And as you know from watching that ugly game yesterday between St. Louis and Michigan State held on. And their play as they say, it was an ugly game, but, they won the ugly game. And sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you have to play ugly and win ugly. And that's how Michigan State did it yesterday. But congratulations to them. And going on to really face a very strong athletic team. And I say athletic, I mean a very athletic team. And that's Louisville. And that's going to be a very tough opponent for them. So the Louisville-Michigan State game coming up Thursday night. And that game will be broadcast on TBS, Michigan State and Louisville. Hey, give us a call. Talk a little sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. The lights get brighter now. It's to the Sweet 16 for Michigan State, and then on to the Final Eight, and then to the Final Four. So it gets a little bit brighter each week. each weekend, no surprise, I guess you've all figured this out. We all have. The games get tougher each week. They don't get easier. They get tougher. And this region is probably, Tim Stout and I were talking this morning, they are probably, Michigan State probably has the toughest region of the four regions of teams that are left. And so it's a tough draw for Michigan State, but hey, that's what you get. You just never know who's going to get beat. I mean, there have been upsets. You know, no one thought that Lehigh would upset the teams they have won. Nobody thought, you know, that some of the other teams would pull off certain upsets. But that happened. That's why tournament time is so fun. It's one and done time, that's for sure. Well, let me see. It looks like maybe something else is coming across on Peyton Manning. Citing sources today, ESPN said that the four-time Manning to negotiate to complete a deal with Denver, Manning became a free agent, released him after March 7th, after the quarterback missed all of last season. The addition of Manning could well lead to the trade of Tim Tebow. That's the speculation, who energized the Broncos, leading them to the playoffs last season, despite having an uneven season. So San Francisco 49ers and the Tennessee Titans have been in the race to sign Manning, but it looks like that Denver has won out, and Denver will be the new home of Peyton Manning. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKR. And also, I have to tell you, I saw some great girls basketball over the weekend in Breslin Arena, the girls state championship. And I just want to let all of you know out there, especially if you're basketball fans, if you haven't been to Breslin Arena to watch the finals, you know, to watch the girls finals, the boys finals start coming up this week, the quarterfinals and such. But it's really worth it to get there and watch the finals, the state championship games. The quality is good. I mean, I saw three of the four games were really good, very exciting games over in Breslin this weekend. We have the boys starting this week. So you have a chance to see some good basketball. So hopefully you'll get over there and watch some of the games, some of the boys. If you had a chance, hopefully you enjoyed the girls' games this past week. The girls, as I talked to the coaches, and you might have heard some of them from last week, the girls' game is just getting better and better. They're getting stronger. They're getting more athletic. And the girls' game has really progressed the last few years. So if you're a lover of basketball and you like to watch the girls play, it's certainly worth it for you. Hopefully you went over and got a chance to watch the girls play in Breslin. And hopefully next year you'll be back just following a girls team in the regular season, or just go watch them in the playoffs. It was really fun this year watching the girls play basketball. Hey, you can give us a call. You can talk sports with us. And you can also look and see in the boys' side, will Sexton repeat and get a second straight championship? They've got a great shot at it. Lansing Sexton, a two-time champion, it looks like. Now, they have a three-time champion on the girls' side. Waterford, Our Lady of the Lakes, won their third title. So we want to see what the boys will do now. Can Sexton win the second title? So you can do that. Check it out if you want. When they get here, get down here. But they're in the quarterfinal rain right now, and you'll be able to chance to see them later on. It's 39 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Mark Bittman loves food, cooking it, eating it, writing about it, and the author of How to Cook Everything says the way we eat is all wrong. His formula laid out in a TED Talk.
Eat food. Eat real food.
Less meat, less junk, more plants.
I'm Neil Cohn, and Mark Bittman joins us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
We have more days of unseasonably warm weather ahead of us. Partly sunny the rest of this afternoon with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high around 80. Partly cloudy skies tonight, a low in the upper 50s. Then mostly sunny on Tuesday, a high in the lower 80s. And the same story on Wednesday, mostly sunny, highs in the lower 80s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Give us a call, send us an email, but talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we ask that you become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on WKAR. We hope to chat with Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News and talk about the Spartans and their track of making it to another Final Four and get his chances on what he thinks about the Spartans. He's been following the team all year long, and now he's out. He's back here in town. They'll be heading out to Phoenix in the very near future. And so we'll want to get a chance on how he thinks they'll do in the next round of the NCAA tournament. But you can call us up, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. When you look at the Big Ten, the four teams still left in the tournament, we have possibilities, several scenarios for matchups for the Big Ten four teams, several scenarios maybe Ohio State and Ohio could meet, North Carolina, North Carolina State could meet, Kentucky, Louisville could meet, Michigan State can meet Ohio State, possibility. There are a lot of scenarios where teams could meet depending on what happens in this round. So that'll be very challenging to see if they'll meet and how good it could be. And Draymond Green is leading the charge for the Spartans. He's leading them, and hopefully he can get them to the Final Four, because he's the leader on that team. No one else, no debate, no disputes on that. And he's doing such a great job of not only with his leadership skills and also with his play on the court. And when you have a leader who is your best player, that really, really helps your team. And the fact that he is the dominant leader, but he is the best player on his team, it really goes to show you how much that helps the team. When you're a captain, when you're a leader, he's your very best player. So give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. If you didn't read or see much about that Pistons game the other day, the Pistons played the Los Angeles Clippers, and of course the Clips and Chris Paul came to play near the end of that game, and then the last few minutes of that game, the Pistons couldn't hold off Chris Paul. He took control of the game and showed the Pistons why they were such a strong team. Well, Jacob, we haven't had a chance to talk, so let me get your opinion. What did you think about the Spartans the other day?
Obviously, a hard-fought game. St. Louis is a good team. That's the thing. I mean, people tend to think that you see St. Louis and you just think that's going to be an easy game just because, they're named St. Louis and whatnot. But no, it was a really good team, a really good game. That's a well-coached team and a team that really didn't give up. I mean, it was a lot of missed shots for St. Louis. I mean, St. Louis in that first half was lucky to be down only six at halftime. I mean, they couldn't hit anything. They couldn't buy a bucket. And just a really tough win. They played good defense. Both teams did, which the score is, I think, indicative of being 65-61. But a really good game. You have to win those close games. In fact, I almost feel like, and I don't, I haven't looked this up, but I almost feel like the teams that really go far in the tournament are not the teams that blow everybody out, but are the teams that win the close games and yes, win by single digits. Usually the champion is playing close, tough games, and you have to win those close games. And a lot of people tend to have the knee-jerk reaction of, oh, well, it was a bad team and you only beat them by X number of points. When in reality, you're not going to play, perfect basketball every night. And if you can find a way to win when you're not playing perfect basketball, even if it's by 4 points, that's still positive. So I thought it was a good game. I thought it's going to probably prepare him well for Louisville or Marquette or Florida down the road. We'll see what happens there. But And they do have a really tough region and really tough path to the Final Four.
Do you think they can get to the Final Four, or do you think they'll probably go down to this region?
They certainly have a chance. I mean, they're the number one seed, but I really do think they have the toughest games left. I mean, Louisville's a really not only do you have a really good team in Louisville, an athletic team, but you also have a coach that much like Tom Izzo knows how to coach in the tournament action with Rick Pitino. And then further down the road, either Florida or Marquette. I think it'll probably end up being Marquette. But even if it's Florida, I mean, Florida's a team that is playing well above their seed line of a 7 seed right now. You know, they beat Virginia and they just destroyed Norfolk State. So, you know, I'd probably give it a 50-50 chance right now. I think that they have the talent to get there. But they certainly can play well. But this is the kind of tournament where if you don't really play very good basketball, even if it's for a few minutes, you're going to slip up against one of these teams. So I think they have a shot. I'd give it a 50-50 chance. But it's a really tough road. Louisville and Marquette or Florida, three really tough teams.
Okay. Well, let me throw you a little curve here.
Oh boy.
Actually, a big curve.
Big curve.
Yes. Now, how do you feel about the Derek Fisher trade from the Lakers? And then Derek Fisher went and, he didn't show up. He didn't show up.
I don't blame him. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand it. I mean, at some point, and we saw this, it's kind of similar to the Peyton Manning thing in so much that you get, these players do get older, they've been there a while, and you do have to move on at some point. It's sad to see that. Derek Fisher's been there for a long time, but, you know, you understand it from a tactical, strategic standpoint. But I also understand why he didn't show up to the Rockets, because he just probably doesn't want to play for the Rockets. That's fine.
Yeah, but that's the thing that got me. The Rockets right now are in the eighth slot for the playoffs right now, and they are a pretty young team, which he could provide the valuable leadership for that young team, but he decided not to. He's going to gamble, and he looks, I guess San Antonio is a couple other teams are looking. He wants to look at the Chicago Bulls, San Antonio Spurs, and he's got a few other options. I didn't realize it, even at 37, he's got options. That sort of surprised me a little bit. I thought, yeah, you don't want the Houston, that no one might sign him, but it looks like there are a few teams out there that want to sign a 37-year-old guy.
Well, he's still a good player. I mean, he's still got a few maybe years left in him. I don't know if maybe a few is a stretch, but maybe, 2 years at the most. So, you know, if you can sign him and get a good deal, I mean, it's all about the deal. I mean, you're not going to obviously pay an exorbitant amount of money. It's all about the deal that you can get. But, you know, hey, if he's free out there, you might as well try and get him. If you can get him for a good deal for a few years, why not?
Yeah, I think Houston said they were willing to extend his contract for at least 2 years, and that would give him two more years of guaranteed money, which I thought would be a pretty good deal. But I guess he knows the market better than we do, or than I do. And he's willing to take the chance, and maybe he'll get a 2 or 3 year deal with another team, maybe with Chicago or with San Antonio, who are both in the playoff hunt right now.
And the other thing is, like, you know, he has leeway to kind of pick where he wants to play because he is 37. He's played for a while now. So not only do you have that respect within the league, but you also have the option to retire. If he doesn't get a deal that suits him in a place that would suit him, then, you know, by all means, he could just say, all right, you know, I'm done. I'll retire now. It's not like he's, you know, in his, you know, early 30s or late 20s and he's, you know, got to keep playing. You know, he can step away if he wants. So I think he's got options out there, and I think that he has a little bit of leverage.
And he does. He also mentioned the Miami Heat. He wouldn't mind going to Miami. So that would be a place for him that he could settle at would be Miami. So he's got options, and it's always good to have options.
Yes, options are always nice, yes.
Hey, give us a call. Talk Sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And also, I heard an interview this morning. I certainly get tired of people asking the Tiger Woods these same old questions. We're asking, how does it feel that, you know, you haven't been number one for a while or like that? And I'm always thinking, I said, you know, when you're in a golf tournament or when you're playing on the golf tour, they say, why, you know, how have you been able to handle this not being at the top of the leaderboard in so long? I said, hey, as he said, he just sort of smiled and said, well, hey, you enter every tournament to win. You don't enter not to say you're just happy, hoping to make the cut. No, he said, you want to win every single tournament. I said, that to me is a common sense. I mean, every player, of all the players on the tour, they want to win. they don't want to just be okay. They don't want to just finish the, you know, they all want to win a tournament. That's why you're out there playing. You're competing. And, I sort of get, I think it's sort of an insulting question to me. You want to get out there. You're trying to win every single time out. You're just not trying to be okay. You see that,
And it's also like, you ask the question, well, how does it feel not to be at the top of the leaderboard? Well, that's a dumb question. It feels terrible. What do you, especially considering the fact that he was the best player in the world, bar none, and people were talking about him being the best player of all time for the longest time. Of course it feels terrible, especially all that's happened to him. Like, why even ask that question?
Exactly.
There is like a template for a Tiger Woods interview right now. It's, how does it feel to not be number one? How, what's your goal? I think I saw the same interview. It was on ESPN.
Yes.
I asked him, what is your goal? Well, he answers, it's winning. That's every athlete's goal when they go out there. That's most people's goal in life in general, depending on what you're in. He's going to say, I'd like to place, 10th. I mean, you want to have reasonable goals, obviously. But winning is certainly an achievable goal for him.
Sure.
It's not like that's out of the realm a possibility.
And getting back there and winning again, sure, that's in the realm of possibility. None of us know when it'll happen, but I think it looks like his game is getting back to where, okay, he's got a good chance to win again. I don't know if it'll be this week or at the Masters or after the Masters. We don't know, but at least he's playing good enough where I think he's giving himself a shot, to win some tournaments now.
Yeah, and so much of golf is a mental sport. I mean, my goodness, you almost wonder if any of these people asking questions have even played golf, have even gone out there and swung a club and tried to concentrate while you're doing that, and it's no surprise that after everything he went through that he did go through a slump and that it was tough to get back because it is so mental and in your head. I mean, he's obviously physically in shape. That's not the problem. The problem is the consistency with his swing, different things like that, the strategy of it all. He can certainly win. He's got potential. But it's going to be if he can get mentally focused and back in that mental state where he can just be in that zone, where he can just continue to just win every time he steps onto the course.
Yes, and that'll be a while. I mean, we don't know how long. Maybe it won't be too long, but he's certainly looking at that. Now, one of the things that I think one of the mistakes that Tiger did make when he came up with these injuries, he kept trying to play through them, and he never gave them a chance to heal up properly. And so now when he's hurting now, he's stepping back from the game, taking a few days off, or trying to get to right himself to get back out there on the course. And some guys, they try to play through it. They try to do everything they can rather than just take the time off when you get hurt. Take some time off now. And wait till it heals up, and then go back out there and play again. A lot of guys don't do that. Right now, let's go over to Canada and check in with Jody. Jody, how you doing?
Hey, Earl, how you doing?
Okay.
Guys, win in advance,
Yep.
And because Duke and Missouri and some of the other ones that we never thought would have lost this weekend, aren't advancing. As the number one seed, the team's continuing to play. You just said something that's very interesting, man. You guys were talking about some of the things that you hear on TV or hear some of the things the reporters mm-hmm. ask, and it makes you wonder, if they do actually have a background in the sports, or, you said something earlier about, having been around long enough to where you kind of like the HD, and I've gotten that way. Maybe that's just, it's maybe our times are a little different now. It's time for the young bucks to do, do their thing. But you look at it, you hear some of the questions, and you see like the kid ran baseline. I don't know if you saw the Florida State Cincinnati ending, and a kid ran baseline after out of bounds. The ball was thrown in bounds and was tipped out, and he got it back out of bounds, and it was a position imbalance where he couldn't move, and he started shuffling down the sideline like it was after a made bucket. And I thought, oh, man, what happened? You must have fallen asleep, or nobody mm-hmm. must have told you, or you must not have heard the referee say spot, or maybe they don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. Maybe, because the game has changed, or maybe the referee doesn't tell you when he gives you the ball, spot, or you should know that, the ball was already thrown in once. You can't run down, you can't inbounds the ball by running the baseline a second time.
Right. Yeah. I saw that he didn't, I think he mentioned to him, he mentioned where he had to stand. I saw him do the signal, and then he started running. I think maybe the kid just forgot that he couldn't move off the spot. So that, which is, it's unfortunate on his part, but yeah, I think he just probably forgot that he couldn't run the baseline. because that happens from time to time. I've seen that where a kid will forget that he can't run the baseline because the referee will give him the ball and mention, or he will tell him ahead of time, or either if he doesn't, he just assumes that the kid should know, that the coach will tell him or something in the timeout or right ahead. But I think they should know where they have to stand and what they have to do on timeouts and everything.
Look at it, and I know in pressure, sometimes you will turn around and make mistakes. I remember Daryl Dixon, a former ball player up there, used to always say pressure bursts pipes.
Yep.
And that's some things that happens. You get into those situations, and as fans, we like to see kids, do the right thing and make the right play and do all those things. But a lot of times, that pressure is something, and you're playing in front of 17,000 or football up to 115, 110,000, 76,000. That's a lot of pressure on some kids. And, I had to start kind of lay off because I expect, I like to think that you play the perfect game or you strive to play the perfect game, but you fall short. But, so I had to kind of just sit back and enjoy the game because if not, I would get frustrated when I'd see some of the things kids would do and wonder how come no one taught them. Come they didn't know that?
Yes, and a lot of times, when I talk to them and from time to time that, kids, one thing, they get so excited in the game, and sometimes they forget things they're supposed to do at a certain time because they're so excited, and if they're in a game, sometime, like you say, that pressure busts a grape, and they're thinking about all the things they need to do, and they might slip up and forget that one basic small thing.
Yeah, and before you know it, they took a game. Like, I didn't understand why Florida State was down 6 and they kept chasing the 2-point bucket.
Mm-hmm.
They kept taking the ball to the basket to get to 2, and then fouling again. And Florida State, Cincinnati come down and make 2, so they were never making up a point.
Right.
And I didn't understand why at least once, why didn't they set up and try to at least hit a 3 before the last shot when they were down 6? I just didn't, I'm sure that wasn't the coaches, because Hamilton seems to, he's been in the game to know the game.
Oh, yeah.
When the players are out there, you guys just seem to do, or like the guy, the kid from Mississippi Valley, he missed a shot and he took, the big fella took the ball back to the basket instead of kicking it out to somebody because you were down 3.
Mm-hmm.
When you're down 3, a 2 does you no good with 3 seconds left.
Right.
So as you looked at it, I guess I didn't understand, but like you said, kids get in that pressure situation.
They do.
And they do things, and as a result, it's just part of growing up.
It is. It's a valuable learning lesson. It's a tough one to learn sometimes, but it is a valuable lesson, and sometimes that's one of the things you just have to do.
And that's what they say about when they say sports, the lessons in sports. That's
yes.
One of the lessons is, those types of things.
Yes, exactly.
Along with the discipline. Thanks, Earl.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jody.
All right.
Hey, bye-bye. Bye-bye. I tell you, I saw a girls' game, a high school game, one of the state championship games, and the young lady who was Miss Basketball, she went for 42 in the game on Saturday night. And everyone knew they were trailing by 3 points near the end of the game. Everybody knew she was going to take the shot. Everyone knew that, even the ball boy, everyone knew that she was going to shoot. But what she did, I thought she should have pulled up and shot a three-pointer. But she didn't. She put it down and went to the hole, and then she pulled up and tried to shoot a little short jumper on the baseline and shot an air ball. I felt bad for her, but she tried to shoot an air ball, and she shot an air ball after scoring 42, shooting from all over the place. I mean, she was a great player. She's going to Michigan on scholarship. She was an outstanding player in the game. Put down 42, Ryskowski, and I felt sorry for the girl, but, it was one of those things. She tried to take it inside and tried to get that last basket in that moment, and she couldn't get it done. But there was a good game. Hey, we want to thank you all for today for listening and calling, and we'll be back tomorrow and chat a few more things with you tomorrow. We might talk a little bit more high school basketball with you tomorrow, talk a little bit more Big Ten basketball with you tomorrow. We need you to come back and join us to talk all the different sports right here on AM 870 WKAR. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. We want you to come back and join us tomorrow. Well, also, we want you to have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening. And I'll make sure I will listen for you tomorrow right here on WKAR. Have a good evening, and we'll see you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.